All right.
Okay, so we're
live and well. Yep. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Culk. It's approximately 3:05, 3:08 p.m. We're meeting for a work session on case number PU-12-675, dealing with Basin Transload LLC 10-inch crude oil pipeline. We had a hearing on this a while back, and we're joined by Pat Fawn and Sarah Cardwell from staff and Ryan Norrell. And my colleagues, Randy Crispin, just got back from a tour in Minot, talking to some folks, and the portfolio holder is Commissioner Fedorchak. Juliet, if you had any opening comments, otherwise we can plow forward.
I think we need to just plow forward. I just got the draft order. I just got it on my desk this afternoon, so I haven't even had a chance to look through it yet.
Absolutely. Okay, and that's so thank you, Julie. Oftentimes what, and there's no right or wrong way to do these exactly, the staff will come up with their, you know, the company will submit a proposed order. Staff will review it. If they have any major changes, they'll sort of give them back to us. And I think, Sarah, at this point, you've reviewed the order, and Ryan also has. And the order that you've just sent out is one you're comfortable with. And oftentimes what we do is if there's something that one of the commissioners really jumps out, they have a question on, we can go to that. Otherwise, what we do is we just kind of basically just start at the top and kind of go through and either have Sarah or Ryan take the lead or Pat and kind of walk us through. And if there's anything that jumps out at us is odd or questioning, we'll ask that. Or sometimes the three commissioners will say, I've reviewed the order and I'm fine with it, and it's a very short work session. So I think in this case, maybe it's appropriate just to kind of go through it, if that would be okay with my colleagues.
Fine with me.
Unless you already
have. We did have some late filed stuff for this, didn't we? At this hearing?
Yes, we had one late filed exhibit which showed the map of exactly where the mine sites were along the route.
Okay.
And then the company agreed to do additional monitoring along the route where those mine sites were.
Yep, that's right. So, and that is in the, is it recorded in the docket, that late filed exhibit?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. Pat, you've done this before. I don't know if, Sarah, if you want to go through it or you want me to go through it, or how do you two want to do it?
Sarah's case.
All right, Sarah. So
how do you normally go through it?
Just, I think this, you know, the preliminary statement is pretty typical. The dates, I didn't check with the dates that the filings were made, but I'm assuming those are correct. If anybody questions a date, just let us know. I think we just start with the findings of fact. Number one's, you know, go from there. Number one's...
Okay. The first one is pretty basic. Second one tells exactly where the pipeline is going to go, where it starts and where it ends. And the third one talks about what its purpose is. And then,
just for sake of clarification, every once in a while we'll see statements that will say things like Knife River is an extraordinary company located in, you know, wherever. And so we won't try to make any edifications about whether they're an extraordinary company or not. So some of those you'll get in some of the draft orders that we may end up taking some of that out, just because it may not be relevant. Try to get these narrowed down as quick as we, or as small as we can. So.
Right, and I didn't see any of that to the best of my knowledge in their draft. Item four says the size of the pipe and how much it's going to carry. Five says when they're going to start construction and the cost of the project. And then number six was one, Patrick, where Commissioner Culk had a question if we normally identify surface structures along the pipeline.
I don't recall that statement about before, Pat, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't in there before.
It's a hit. It's kind of hit and miss on whether we identify above ground structures. If it's in the record, we may do that just because the inspector is helpful to our construction inspector, our third-party inspector.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Then Commissioner Culk also asked about this need for the facility, if that is something we normally put in.
If it's a non, like a rate casing kind of pipeline, I don't remember that if we put that in there. Because we don't really speak to the need other than what they told us. We put it as a finding of fact.
I think, let's see, I'm trying to remember if we've had, we can talk about need, but if we had to, we could not deny or we could not deny an application because there wasn't a need for the application. And so it's more like, to me, it's more like, what will the facility be used for? What's its purpose? And so maybe we could change that to purpose for the facility, purpose of the facility.
That's what I thought. If someone would ever question the order, we say in the order the project is needed. Well, where's the record built that this project is really needed? Why don't we just do what you just said, change the words around?
Yeah, it isn't one of our issues on siting cases.
Right.
Need is not one of the issues.
So if you guys could tweak that to say.
Well, technically in finding a fact, number three, we already talk about the purpose, so we can probably just incorporate the two and eliminate this one. I mean, if there's anything that we feel is important here, we can move up into three, anything that we've missed.
Okay.
No, otherwise, just completely, we can remove it.
I noticed that Ryan is looking in the statute, and you may actually find mention of the need in there.
That's what I'm looking for, yeah.
And but there has been a court decision that says that that's not one of our issues, and a lot of can confirm that.
Okay.
Well, it's not one of the purposes of that we identify at the.
Right.
Hearing, either,
right.
You know, issues to be considered, that's not
so
on there.
So purpose, I would just say. If we have a heading here, we would call it the purpose.
But we already have that over under number three, the purpose of the project.
Yeah,
so.
It's not a separate heading, though.
Right.
But it could be.
Right.
However you guys want to do it, I don't
okay. care. We'll fix that.
What I envision is when we're done with this, we'll have other changes and then get one more draft back out to us, and then if a commissioner wants yet another work session after that, we could do that. Otherwise, we may just make that draft become the final order. So, okay, fair enough. So, number eight.
Okay, number eight, we talk about the study area, which is the one-mile-wide study area, and then we talk about the size of the field survey area, where they narrowed it down, and that's where they did their pedestrian surveys of the cultural resources and also had field biologists and people go out there and look at various things. And
before you move on, number eight, Sarah just wrote something.
No, it's in their copy.
She's getting it a little earlier.
Yeah. I made some final tweaks. I printed it off and I read it.
So does the final version say 120 to 200?
Yes.
Okay, so then it raises a question in my mind about, are the areas where it's 200 feet wide identified on the corridor map?
Specifically?
Yeah.
No.
We want to be very specific about the corridor that we designate, and so I would say we would want to have a map identifying the corridor specifically where it's 200 feet wide?
Well, this was to accommodate those staging areas, and
right.
That's why I added that back in,
mm-hmm.
because you questioned in that other one, in that either
I
the permanent right-of-way is 120 foot, but during construction, there are places where they're going to be out to 200 feet.
Now, were the field studies done on that, in those areas
yes.
out to 200 feet?
Yes.
And so do we have a map showing those areas?
Not, maybe it's in the WENC study, because they go into smaller maps for the wetlands areas.
Well, let's do like this, Sarah. When there's areas that you have questions on, I don't want to get derailed getting through the order, but Patrick's point of it needs to be more specific of if you're going to do that, then refer them to a map, or I'd say it'll be 120 areas except for these particular areas, just so to clarify that out.
Okay. But that their permanent right-of-way is 120 feet.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that'll be another change we'll be looking for in the draft.
Okay. Nine talks about what they analyzed, and 10 confirms that they sent a solicitation for information to all the required agencies. 11 confirms that they did a class 1 literature search and a class 3 cultural resource inventory, as well as reviewed all the soils and did a field survey of the wetland and water bodies.
Is that the same width, 120 and 200?
Yes. Okay, and item 12 is the SHPO concurrence that there is no historic properties or significant sites affected by the project. 13 talks about the siting criteria. 14 talks about the exclusion areas.
Sarah, just a quick question. On number 12, the SHPO concurrence, is that something that's in a finding or something? Instead of this is the study, we're talking about the study and the citing, conclusions. I mean, that's almost like drawing a, that's more than just talk. I don't know. Sometimes we pull those out in our orders and we highlight things like SHPO letters.
Pull them out. What do you mean?
Well, they're
not a finding of fact.
Well, we don't really have a finding of fact in this order.
Well,
conclusion of
all of these are findings of fact, aren't they?
What we do, what we can do there is, you know, we usually have
the
SHPO letter that gives that designation of no historic properties affected.
Right.
And we can put in it, I would assume we have it in this case, and you can put in the date of the letter.
Okay.
and the SHPO's response.
It's just that tends to be a very important piece to the order, so anything more information you can put around it, that would be helpful. But I guess you're right, these are all findings of facts.
I assume we have, there. Is that it there?
Yes.
Okay. And it covers both the original report and the additional report?
Oh, I took that out. That must have been from a previous order that got in there.
Oh.
Because there is no, in this particular case, there was no additional study done.
Yes, so you use the letter.
Yeah, so
put that in there.
Okay.
What I was trying to think of too is, as I'm thumbing through this, is that we send it. We have a finding that we sent it out to all these people, and they provided written comments. But we elaborate about the SHPO one. But do we have to put some other comment that of those agencies that responded back to us, none of them were against the project? Is that in here anywhere? I mean, if the Fish and Wildlife responded back to us and said they didn't like it, I would assume it would be in here. But we then should alternatively have something in here that says that they had a concurrence or something, I would think.
What I've usually done is only mention the ones that have a special statement or a special requirement, and then that the company is willing to meet that requirement.
Okay.
If an agency doesn't have any concerns, then I usually in the past have not mentioned it.
So it's implied that unless we pull it out there that
yeah,
they have no
they've contacted them. And they've responded, and then only mention the ones that have issues.
We have it put in there. We've contacted these agencies, and there was no concerns mentioned. We have put that in orders before.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
here
probably
we,
right.
I can add that in.
Here we say the following agencies provided written comments, but
right.
What you're saying is we don't say what they are.
Right. So we're, but it was specifically what pulled out mean? The SHPO letter.
If we only mention the issues when an agency has an issue, that means we've addressed the issue. If they don't have an issue, that means there was no need to address it, in my mind. But Ryan is, you know, how do you feel about that?
Well, I guess I'm just looking for clarification then. Was there an issue with SHPO to be addressed in this one or no?
With SHPO, there's always an issue of of whether there is a historic property affected and whether then that it is not of any significance.
Okay.
But so we always put SHPO in.
And the point that the commissioners asked for, we always want the SHPO letter broken out because it's that significant. Because it seems like there's always something. Even if there isn't something, we want in the order that they said there was nothing.
Right.
Okay.
And that's the part that I was just elaborating more, and maybe for Randy and Julie too, is that just because we've done things that way in the past doesn't mean we shouldn't. Because
right. There
may be some I think there may be some value in putting a statement in there that says that they had no comments that were negative, or they agreed or they concurred or something.
Well, it might be difficult to summarize with one statement. Because like USM Corps of Engineers, they didn't really concur. They said, here's the permits that you need, and here's what you need to, here's what you don't need, here's what you do need.
You start to get into the issue about whether if an agency hasn't responded,
right?
Is the company supposed to keep going, keep contacting the agency until they get a response?
No, I agree with that. It's not open-ended.
And I like the idea of giving some sense of what they've said, but it might be, I can see the challenge of summarizing them all with one statement. Like parks, they said, does not affect state parklands. There's some that do and some that are a little bit more complicated.
Mm-hmm. I would be a little concerned about trying to recharacterize letters if they don't need to be recharacterized.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's just leave it the way it is. I just wanted to have that discussion so we know.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I have read in orders, though, I know what you're saying, there's a statement like the following agencies were, well, maybe it's in the applications sometimes that the applicants say we contacted these agencies, none of them had problems or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I could be confusing it from an application to what I'm thinking of in orders. You would remember the orders more than I have. You've done a lot more of them.
And that's where they kind of blur together sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe what your point, though, Pat, is that the ones we've talked about where they've had specific concerns that we highlighted, so it's implied there's no concerns. And I'm okay with that. All right. Next slide. So what are we up to before I cut you off, Sarah?
12, I think.
Probably avoidance areas. Is that where we...
Okay.
And then no adverse impacts, number 16. And 17 talks about the fact that most of the land in the area is used for grazing and or crop production with very few trees, but to the extent there are some, they will follow the tree and shrub mitigation specifications. And because it's an underground pipeline, there shouldn't be any problems with habitat for animals, other than maybe a slight impact during construction. And, they found no threatened, endangered species or sensitive plants or animals in the area. And then 19 talks about construction with all applying... complying with all laws. 20, it talks about their mitigation, that they signed the certification relating to order provisions. And this was the first time that we had a combined one with the new 1147 items within the certification. So it was all one combined certification. And then there was the tree and shrub mitigation specifications. 21 talks about the permanent right-of-way is 120 feet.
What did they study again for their right-of-way?
They studied up to 200 feet.
Up to, but not 200 feet everywhere?
Correct.
It goes back to Pat's point. Because going forward, and this is just my thoughts, I guess, is that I would like us to approve as wide a corridor as we can without getting unreasonable. So gives them more flexibility if they have to change stuff, because we shrink these corridors down, and then they come back and they want to change something outside the corridor, we're back to where we started again. So why don't we keep the corridors as wide as we can?
Well, isn't it because of their ability to come back in and put whatever they want in there?
Yeah, right. But that's where I've swum back the other way. Initially, we tried to, because of the footprint law, we tried to make these as small as we could. But I'm now back the other way, saying that with all these changes we get, I'd just as soon like to find a little bit sweeter spot to make them a little wider, so they can make changes inside the corridor without having to come back to us
during construction.
During construction.
Well, isn't there a construction right away, or not?
Yes. There often is, and that would be the temporary right away. That's what they negotiate with the landowner.
Right.
It has nothing to do with our corridor, so to speak. And I would characterize our corridor as we could designate a corridor as wide as they've done their field studies. Mm-hmm. We've usually based it on their field studies. And so
exactly.
Not that we they have a study area where they do a literature search, and that's usually quite a bit wider, maybe a mile or 6 miles in some cases. But we have designated corridors that are equivalent to their field studies. And so, but we're not trying to limit them to that. They will grant it as wide as they've done their field studies.
Okay. Say, in the application and during the hearing, I remember there was some discussion about permanent right-of-way that is 70 feet wide for 1.75 miles of the route and 25 feet wide for 2.25 miles of the route. And now we're saying that it's 70 feet for the whole route. Didn't we just say that it's going to be one width the whole way, the right of way?
Well, that's the corridor is going to be 120 feet based upon the area that we know for sure was studied.
Okay.
But it sounds like once they have it built, what they're actually going to have is their permanent right of way is 70 feet.
Okay.
But the corridor designation is for 120 based on their field survey area.
If there was something that we wanted to leave out of the order, I mean, that could be left out totally because we don't deal with rights of way.
Yeah.
We deal with the corridor.
Well, and that's maybe why
it is kind of confusing to have them both in there.
I think take it out because I don't recall seeing that before.
It's been in before too, but
okay.
It really isn't necessary.
What's necessary is the corridor.
Corridor, that's right.
Their issue, they have issue.
They
have
an
to
issue,
their right-of-way,
yes.
But we don't approve their right-of-way. We approve their corridor.
That's right.
Okay.
So 21 can go away.
And then where's the discussion on the corridor? That's back to where we talked about before, right?
Right at the beginning.
On number 8. That's where you're going to identify with more detail the corridor, correct?
125, yeah. Okay. Pat was suggesting that we need to be more specific there.
Yeah. We need to know the areas where it's wider, 200 feet wider, because if they come back in with a filing under the footprint law, we need to know the corridor that was designated and that they're within that corridor for the footprint activity.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, sir.
But in terms of taking out 21, is that, measures to minimize impact, that's part of our criteria. So should we be eliminating that altogether?
Yes. Isn't that 50 feet?
Basin will generally use existing public roads to access the right-of-way, but may need to construct short gravel roads to access certain areas. That seems like a measure to minimize impact.
That's not related to the... What is that related to? Is that related to the trees and shrubs?
No.
No.
I thought the using to access it is just when they're doing their...
construction.
I was thinking after the fact, but I guess I'm not sure, because they have to survey every so many weeks or whatever, they have to survey the line.
Perhaps you could just leave that last sentence.
But this is into the construction, under the construction. So that's what I was thinking, to access the right-of-way. I was thinking after it's built, was what the last sentence pertained to.
Well, maybe you guys can look at that and see if it needs to be in there for the minimizing impact criteria.
I'm not sure what the context was of it.
Okay.
So
there's no downside to putting Julie's comment in there just to reinforce something like that. I don't think that's what your point was, I think, right? Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just another measure they're taking to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing with all these, like reminding them to do one call, reminding them to do these other things. Because the thought process, like coming up to the one call, Basin will participate in one call. Well, they have to, but we wanted to put it in their orders because if we have a problem down the road, we have specifically told them to participate. It has a much different impact than if we didn't tell them and they did decide not to report something or something like that.
Are we to that one? Because that's in the
I know.
I think that's in the certification.
It is, but I still like it in the order.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm with you, Pat, but we've had this discussion.
Okay, and 22 says they're going to operate in accordance, well, design, construct, and operate in accordance with the Department of Transportation regulations. 23 is one call. 24 is the emergency response plan. And then
I had a question on just an Basin's existing response plan will be updated and include the project, or I can't remember exactly that because they have an existing response plan, but it didn't include this project, or is this just splitting hairs? Because the word existing, I think, if I just said Basin's emergency response plan will include this project, that's cool.
Okay.
Maybe just take out existing.
Okay. And then 25, we already talked about the late filed exhibit, the increased monitoring because of the abandoned mine sites that have been restored, but you could always develop a little dimple or something going forward. Then the next section is the conclusions of law.
Now, when we say a basin agrees to, should we be saying Basin will perform additional monitoring? It makes it sound to me like somebody else is doing it when we say agrees to.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, and I think the first three conclusions of law are pretty much boilerplate law stuff.
Now, before we go on to that, in terms of minimizing impact, is there anything that came out of the conversation from the one member of the public who attended and to minimize some of his concerns? Was there anything specific that was decided or needs to be included in this order in that regard?
Well, I personally felt there were some things that could be done or asked of the company. But in talking to our attorney, he said that legally there was nothing that binds us to ask them to do anything.
Yeah, that was – I don't know what kind of hooks we would have legally to – everything else seemed to be kind of out of the control of Basin in this matter. I don't know.
Because it was a railroad?
Because it was railroad, and it was operated by a different entity.
His issues were more related to the rail car.
Yeah.
The rail cars.
The operation of the locomotives and the idling and the moving of the locomotives. And
the only tie to this is that this, in his mind, would potentially exacerbate the problem because you're...
More rail, more trucks,
yep.
More...
providing more product.
And I think that's a legitimate concern. There will
right.
be a lot more rail cars there. And, really the only hook on the railroad probably is their customer.
Right.
And once their customer has this order and gets what they want, then does the customer help him in any way to alleviate his
right.
problems with the railroad? Probably not.
I mean, is it unreasonable to agree or to include measures to minimize impact Basin agrees to work with railroad and local landowners to minimize the impacts of additional rail traffic as possible or something to that effect.
I guess my concern would be, how would we enforce that? Is there a...
We put it in our order and somebody challenges us on it, we can't make them do anything on it.
Yeah, and part of it would be kind of going back to the language about, we'd probably want to say basin shall mitigate the impact, but again, I don't know how we would, because the impact would be, it's probably very subjective. I don't want to dismiss Mr. Reinhart's claims out of hand. I just don't know what we can, what we could order, how we could do that. Was there further conversation? Did Scott or did somebody talk with Mr. Reinhart at all, or with the company?
Well, Scott and I had talked with Mr. Reinhart before the hearing, and then encouraged him to go to the hearing. Talk with the commission, and the commissioners could, hear his situation and determine if there was something could be done. But you're at the point where now you're talking about what could be done to help him out, and I don't know when you mentioned the conversations that Scott and I had, what were you thinking?
I was, maybe Jillian, on behalf of the company, can speak to this too. Was there further conversation after the hearing with Mr. Reinhart, or?
Well, but back to that, this is the point of a work session is a work session, okay? We're not going to incorporate other stuff.
Sure.
But I think the key question is that what can we do? And if a commissioner wants to explore that, then we've got a whole other venue of things we'll have to open up, I think, really. Because that's the hard reality sometimes of our jurisdictional limits.
Mm. Although, I guess I just point this out. I don't know either how you write that in a clear, definable, and enforceable way. However, in number 25, we have the same problem. They agree to additional monitoring. What's that? Once every 10 years, they fly a plane over the top and say they didn't see anything? Or once every week, they go out and walk it? I don't know what additional monitoring means. Nor do I know how to define that they'll work to alleviate this issue that they have with parking these trains across there and kind of cutting him off from his land. So I don't have a solution.
Well, I don't know that we're supposed to come up with a solution. We're just saying this is important. You guys, as one of the criteria for your permit, you need to work with him.
I think one difference is that you could actually ask them, because we would have jurisdiction, I think, on this monitoring, because they're going through that area with the abandoned mine lands or reclaimed mine lands. You could ask them what they mean by additional monitoring, because you have some jurisdiction here in the corridor. But in the other situation, the question is if you have any jurisdiction at all to require something and then enforce it. Mm-hmm.
We're kind of obligating, it's still a third party that has to comply with, it would be the BNSF, I think, operated that rail line, would end up having to, the company would be held responsible for BNSF's lack of cooperation, which would, I'm trying to think of how we could, I could see somebody challenging that.
What do you mean by challenging it, Ryan?
Just if I could see BNSF turning around and saying, make us, essentially. And what would we do then? We would pull basin certificate because of a failure to act on behalf of BNSF. I don't know what... I guess BNSF loses a big customer, though, if that's the case.
Well, how much does it cost to build a sound barrier? Does it cost that much?
When I talked with Mr. Reinhart in the hearing, if he wants to file a complaint against the railroad, it's through the Surface Transportation Board, which we will assist him. So if he wants to complain against the railroad, he should follow that venue. If he had concerns about sinkholes, I told him to call us and file the upstairs, and we'd fix the sinkhole. So it's the venue that he would want to file his complaint, because we certainly would help him in a complaint against BNSF. But I don't think this is the place to try to get BNSF to change their behavior, because this is a citing document. Right. Would be the way I would look at this.
I had another. You know, when you get into the operation of the facility, like we've had some with another company, we've had operation of a pump station, for example, making noise, and trying to come up with ways to mitigate that. In this situation, is there a way that this is kind of comes back to a basic question? When we do siting, are we approving for the construction? And are we picking the location based on the future operation and the construction and maintenance? Or are we issuing a certificate that also says you need to operate it? Can we say anything about how you operate your facility? You know, in my mind, it was like always about picking the location. Location, location, location. Location is important in how you're going to operate your plant. Location is important in how you're going to maintain your plant. Location is important on environmental impacts. So then, operation of your facility. If you determine that we issue a certificate based on the operation of the facility itself, you could think maybe Basin Transload should operate their facility that minimizes that noise level. Or maybe because we know that there are trains sitting there and they can't be changed and they're sitting there idling and making a lot of noise, maybe we could require them to mitigate in some fashion. And maybe it wouldn't involve telling BNSF what to do. Maybe it would be involved, maybe what would be involved is a different facility design because of the location.
That's the discussion on pipelines. Once the crude starts flowing, it's PHMSA jurisdictional on those big lines.
Yeah. This one hasn't started flowing yet, so to speak. But
well, and to that end, the requiring of the additional monitoring of the areas that are going through reclaimed mine lands, that's an operational requirement because of its location. So we are requiring them to take an action because of where they're located there.
But there's a key point. The company agreed to it. I understand the changing of the word, but at the end of the day, they agreed to it, and so that changes. If the company would agree to do something different based on the trains, whatever, that's a whole different scenario, because they're agreeing to it even though we don't have the jurisdiction or it's a questionable issue. They're saying, okay, we'll do it.
What has the company said about this since the hearing, about this issue with Dale? Or his concerns?
Nothing that I am aware of.
Not that I'm aware of either.
I originally was thinking we should ask him, but then Ryan said they have no, you know, it's not part of our jurisdiction, so.
Yeah, well, I think, go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to say that I was going to ask for a finding to go in here about the county approved the zoning of this, because that's something that came out during the hearing. And I think these kind of things are left the county decisions. If they want to start getting into train operation, let the county commissioners decide that. I don't want us to, for me personally, go down a road of getting outside our jurisdiction for every time someone comes in and doesn't like something against the project being cited. If it's in our jurisdiction, by all means, but these are outside our jurisdiction.
Well, yeah, I hear you, but I'm also understand the quandary that the public's in, where everyone's going, it's not me, it's them. And where do they go?
I think his
they get
clear.
Stuck in a circle.
He could file a complaint with the Surface Transportation Board. We would help him. We gave him the relief on what to do with the sinkholes. He didn't follow through on it. You're correct.
Yeah, he did. He called.
but he didn't follow through with Scott asked to give us the locations, and he never came back with the locations.
Oh.
But he did call. You were correct.
Well, for sure there isn't anything on the record to make it his determination whether the facility could be changed to minimize its noise that we're talking about for this person, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wanted more, you'd have to ask for more.
Go ahead.
And that would have to be about the facility design, I would think. It wouldn't be. Or facility operation and whether they can do anything.
There's also the fact that at the end of the day, I don't know that the increased rail traffic that's going to cause him even more problems than he currently has is necessarily tied in with whether this pipeline gets built or not. Because if the pipeline doesn't get built, they still may have the increased rail traffic. It's just that all the oil will be hauled in with trucks. And alleviating some of the traffic off the road is important, too. And if they haul it in with trucks instead of using this pipeline, it didn't save this problem, but it did cause another one.
I do believe, too, that the operation of the trucks with getting cattle across the road and getting cattle across the tracks was also one of his concerns, too. So there's a noise concern, and there was the operation of the ranch.
But this facility is run by Basin Transload. It's their rail facility. It's not BNSF's. It's Basin Transload's rail facility on BNSF tracks. So they are in control of the operations of that rail facility, and this feeds that. So they are the ones that ultimately can control how long those trains sit there and all those issues. Now, does this permit tie to that? No, it doesn't. But I guess
that's
it doesn't.
Who controls the locomotives when those trains come and go? The facility doesn't control the locomotive movements. So that's not as clear-cut as one might hope.
Well, I know up in Berthold, it's not BNSF even running those trains. They're being leased.
What do you think?
Well, I think this looks very good. I think there's a few tweaks. But I think a call back to the company to say, what have you done? What do you intend to do with this fellow and his concerns? And at least to get that from them and find out what it is that they, what, you know, because he listed off, you know, a few things. He was promised planking across the rail, and it sounded to me after that meeting that they were talking, and maybe there's some progress that's been made, and then we could at least, I feel that there's enough of a tie to this project to warrant at least follow up with the company to see what they plan on doing. If anything, if they are doing nothing, then we can, you know, proceed from there and determine if we want to require them to or not, but I'd like to at least have the follow-up with them.
That sure sounds reasonable. Because it'll be your motion to bring forward whenever you're ready. So, by all means. So can you add that part about the zoning approved by the county commission date somewhere in there?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'd like. And then off what Julie said, that makes sense. Call the company, and if they come back with something and Commissioner Fedorchuk wants to do more or Randy wants to do more, then we schedule another work session. If we decide individually that we're fine with the next draft of the order, then you can bring it up to vote on.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, we're never going to be able to specify perfectly in every single order exactly what needs to be done. We're going to have to rely on good working relationships between companies and citizens. And to the extent that we can show them that we're really interested in that happening and encouraging it, and we're going to follow up on when they say they're going to promise to do something, at least before giving an order, I think that's a minimal step that we can take, and if we need to do more, we can do more after that. But companies have to be working hand in hand with the people in the state. They just do.
Fair enough.
Did he ever present any evidence of the promise or commitment to having a crossing in the middle of there where he could move his equipment and cattle across?
No, there was no evidence presented other than his verbal, and that was not when we followed through with more questions. Because we asked him one time, well, did you call the company and ask? And he said, no, I never did call them. I mean, it was a bizarre discussion because he made these complaints and he said, well, did you call them? And he said, no, I never followed through and called them. So that was where it was frustrating for me, is that there was nothing. It seemed like he had a lot of concerns, but he didn't follow through, and they gave him the venues to follow through on them.
Well, I think based upon conversations people had with him afterwards, some bad blood, so to speak, has developed with him, between him and the company representative.
But it's been my experience for different cases that the county commissioners, that's why I asked to put it in there, if there's issues out there, the counties will not issue their permits. The counties will sit in there, just like we're seeing down in Edinger right now. Counties will do their best to get it all sorted out, and they get to a certain level, and they're not going to make everybody happy, but they do the best they can. Then they issue their approval, and then it comes to us to bring it up there. So that's where I guess I look at that. A lot of it is the county, but doing that is significant. They've looked at it, and they've made their decision, and then we can rely to that.
Doesn't get more local than that.
No, exactly. All right.
So not to hold it up, but just in the process of making these changes, check back with the company, see what they're doing, what they've heard, what they intend to do, and then we can look at the next draft after that.
Okay.
Beautiful. Okay. Randy, anything else?
Nothing else.
Okay. So turn it over to you guys. All right. With that, Ryan, Sarah, Pat, anything we missed?
No.
Okay. So when's our next meeting?
Next meeting to discuss this?
The commission meeting.
Oh, it's the 11th of September, the same day the Moldovians come.
Okay. So work with Commissioner Fedorchak, and if he needs to be on this agenda, then get on there appropriately. If not, then schedule the work session. So one of the two things will happen, either a work session or a motion. Okay.
You know this is a big case, Mr. Chairman, when the Moldovans come to monitor.
Absolutely. All right. We will now close the work session on case number PU 12-675. Thank you.
And reconvene in 5 minutes.